seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the first part of verse 39. Now, John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the first two clauses in verse 39. He saith unto them, Come and see. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the first part of verse 39. He saith unto them, Come and see. These very precious words were spoken by the dear Lord Jesus, and never a man spake like this man. And they were in answer to the question which John's two disciples put to the Saviour. They were followers of John, but now these two were followers of the Lord Jesus. And we read, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? Let us examine our own hearts. How would we stand, or how would we answer if the Lord Jesus spoke such a word to each of us? What seek ye? It's a wonderful thing to be a real seeker of the Lord Jesus. And here were two disciples of John that had followed John, and now they were brought to be real followers of the Lord Jesus. And not only this, they were real seekers of him. We are told in the Word of God that they, and Jesus uttered it himself, that seek shall find. And these two dear disciples were to prove this. And then we read too in the Word of God that they that seek me early shall find me. And as we come up to the house of God continually, are we seeking, as the hymn writer spoke of it, a portion for our souls? Are we seeking to find the dear Lord Jesus? So how would we answer this question, what seek ye? Well, the Lord looks at each of our hearts, and he sees what we truly seek. Whether we are seeking his lovely face, as the Word of God tells us, seek ye my face, and my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek? Are we seeking for the Lord to speak? Are we seeking for a token for good? Are we seeking for him to pardon all our sin? Are we seeking for him to answer our prayers? Are we seeking for him to go before us and prepare us for his will and for a vast eternity? Well, much could be said and many sermons preached on that question. They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? The margin said, or where abidest thou? They wanted to have sweet communion with him. They wanted to dwell with him and to abide with him. And is it your prayer and mine that the Lord would abide with us? Abide with me. You know, the two that journeyed to Emmaus, didn't they? They desired him, saying, it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Abide with us. And he went in and tarried with them. Where dwellest thou? This is what they desired to know. Well, of course, there are many places where the dear Redeemer dwells. First of all, he dwells in the hearts of his people. Oh, he does. You are a favoured soul if the Lord is dwelling in your heart and in mine. He doesn't dwell with the ungodly or the world, does he? But he dwells with his dear people, and he dwells in their hearts. He takes possession, you see, and dwells within them. And do we know what it is for the Lord to dwell within us? Because we've singing of God's grace to his dear people. And if the Lord is dwelling in our hearts, grace will be reigning there. Oh, it will. Because he is the God of all grace. And where he dwells, there is grace. His divine favour to sinners. But too, he dwells in his house. And this is why it is vital that the child of God continually goes to the house of God. Because they want to see the Lord there. They know he dwells there. He makes his dwelling in his courts. We live in a day where there's much technology, and it does trouble me that, and we've proved it in Bethesda, even with some of the old people, what I mean is this, because of the technology of today, they can hear the services in the home, which is a wonderful provision for those that are sick and unable to go. But you know, over the years, and we've experienced it, there have been those that could have gone to the house of God, but oh no, we can hear it on the relay. A convenience, you see. When the Lord has said, and it's a word that's so often been with me, he loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And you think of that word, you know, it's a wonderful word, yet it's very searching. He loves the gates of Zion. He loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. We know the Lord dwells in the homes of his dear people. But he loves the gates of Zion more. Oh, he does. And the same, which I've heard much about of late, there are many say, well, we can hear the sermon on the internet. We've no need to go to the house of God. But remember, he has said he dwells in Zion. Oh, he does. We know the Lord can bless the means, but we need to examine ourselves where we really stand in it, you see. Are we just using it as an excuse? Well, I haven't intended naming that, but it came. But you see, these things are searching. They're laid straight in God's holy word. And I would love in the just set that before you. You see, these dear disciples, they said to him, "Where dwellest thou?" And why did they want to know where he dwelt? So they could go to where he dwelt and to abide with him and to hear of his words, from the lips of the Saviour, and to receive the blessing received from him. And to know that sweet communion with him. Where dwellest thou? Now our text is in the answer, as the answer the Saviour gave them, which I'll come to in a moment. Let's just tarry a few places where the Lord dwells. He dwells too in his holy word. How many times, when you're in trouble, in affliction, in distress, in sorrow, and you go to the Word of God, and it's not just print on the page, you find the Lord dwelling in the Word, because as you read the holy, precious Word, the Saviour reveals himself in his Word. Oh, he does. He dwells there. And oh, the Word of God, you know, is full of Christ. And when it's full of Christ, there's a blessed savour. There's a blessed sweetness. There's a blessed application of the Word. Where dwellest thou? Father, those this morning that are longing to know where the Lord dwells and they want to find him for themselves. You see, these dear disciples wanted to be with him. Oh, they did. And to know his sweet presence more and more. But then he dwells in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God to make intercession for poor sinners. What a mercy it is, isn't it? There's the throne of grace. There's the door of mercy. And there's a blessed Redeemer that takes the petitions of his dear people and presents them before God the Father. Washes them and presents them perfect before him, pleads on their behalf. That blessed intercessor and mediator and advocate between God the Father and poor sinners. He dwells in heaven. And you know, really, this is where the heart of a real child of God wants to be. They want to dwell with him forever, don't they? An eternal dwelling place. This is not your home. This is not your rest. For it is polluted. But you see, what must it be to be there? To be free from all sin. Dear man that I know is bordering, according to the doctors, on the brink of eternity. And he said only the other day, he said, "Oh, what must it be to be there? Without a veil between, no more sin, no more sorrow. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Well, there's a few places, you see, but then we could go further in the experiences of God's dear people. There are times where you'll find the Lord dwelling in the trouble you're in. And that means he is sanctifying the trouble to you. What will make a bed of affliction sweet? Will it not be when you find the Lord dwelling in that bed with you, in the affliction? He dwells with his people. Well, Jesus answered the inquiry of these two dear disciples. And he saith unto them, come and see. Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Well, let us as help look, and it's been with me much yesterday, these words, come and see. You'll find it too recorded in this chapter later on what Philip said. You remember, as we read in the lesson, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him who, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? What a question. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Let us bring it home into your soul and mine. There may be things that you're in this morning, or may have been in days past, and you look at them, and all they seem to be is full of sorrow, full of darkness, full of distress, and you look at it and you say, can any good thing come out of this? It seemed impossible. Well, let me prove it to you from the Word of God. You go back to dear old Jacob, when they came to take away Benjamin from him, and he said, all these things are against me. He looked at it and he could say what's in the chapter we have read, and I've just quoted it. Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? And you see, you couldn't see anything, could he, at that time, dear old Jacob? He just seemed one trouble after another. But you see, Philip was speaking concerning the dear Lord Jesus. He came out of Nazareth, and you know why Nathanael said this was because the Nazarenes were often referred to as unsavourable characters. They couldn't see how anything could come out of this place. But you see, the Lord was to bring out something most precious and vital, wasn't he, out of Nazareth, the precious Son of God. It was often said that Jerusalem sinners and Nazareth sinners were the worst of sinners. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And what was the answer that Philip gave him? Well, the same as our text. Philip saith unto him, come and see. A wonderful invitation, isn't it, for sinners? Come and see. That this was none other than the precious Jesus himself. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. You know, very precious words what Jesus said concerning Nathanael. Behold, an Israelite indeed. Here was one of God's dear children, in whom is no guile. You see, as seen in Christ, he was pardoned, he was cleansed, he was one of the chosen children of God. But as yet, you see, he had not that faith to believe in the Lord Jesus. But you look how the Lord appeared. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence comest thou? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. You see, the all-seeing eye sees his dear people, even when they were dead in sin. And he knows the hour when he will call them by his grace. And he sees all the circumstances that his dear people in. He sees what you're in today. And he sees what you need in your heart. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. You can never hide anything from the Lord, child of God. Many have tried, but the all-seeing eye of the Lord sees us through and through. A dear man I had at Ashwell, he said in prayer once, he said, Lord, thou dost see my heart inside out. And I thought, you know, there's a wonderful reality in that, you know. He sees us exactly as we are. Oh, he does. And he saw Nathanael there under that fig tree, just as he saw Zacchaeus in the tree, trying to view the Saviour, and called him to come down, didn't he? Nathanael answered and saith unto him, and look at the language of dear Nathanael here, Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. You know, faith given to Nathanael, behold, was to behold the precious Saviour as the Son of God and as the King of Israel. He was to behold him as such, as his Saviour, his Redeemer, his all and in all. Come and see. You know, there is to faith a blessed beauty in the dear Lord Jesus. And if you read closely through these verses, you will find there were those brought to view the preciousness and suitability and loveliness of the Saviour. They were to come and to see it. Or they were. And how were they to see it? By living faith. But I want to look first of all, I was helped this morning on this word come. And may the Holy Spirit lead us into this. It's a gospel invitation, that word come, to poor sinners. We know, because of our sin, we know because of our vileness, our hardness, our rebelliousness, the Lord has a perfect right to say depart. That's all we deserve. I remember the late Mr. Mowry preaching on this word come on one occasion, and there's one thing I've never forgot what he said. He said, you know, when the Lord shows the sinner all the corruption and vileness there is in their heart. What will they fear? They fear the Lord will say to them, depart, like he does the wicked. Because of all there is known and felt within. And he said, you know, really, we shall come to the place where we fear he will say it, depart. But instead of that, what does he say? Come. And there may be one here, because of all that you feel within your own heart, you fear the Lord will cut you off forever. It's a wonderful mercy, you know, we're not cut off as cumbers of the ground. That he has not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's all we deserve. But what does he say? And it's found in our text, come and see. Oh, to be a coming sinner to the Lord Jesus. We sing, don't we, in the hymn, come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. It's a sweet word to a poor needy sinner, isn't it? Come. What did Jesus himself say? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Precious words, aren't they? To the weary, heavy laden soul. And there may be one this morning. You got those things, the sins of your heart, the burdens of the journey, many afflictions, many troubles. Come unto me, Jesus. Come unto me. It'll be music in your ears, wouldn't it, if the Lord whispers this to you, come unto me. Then you'll say, well, how can I come? I feel so unfit, I feel so poor, so helpless, how can I come? You can't come too filthy. The dear poet said, the Lord speaking, come just as you are. And as you come to him, you say, he will have mercy on coming sinners. Oh, he will. Come just as you are. I've often said, and you will know, that those characters, you know, that came to the Saviour while he was upon the earth, we don't find him sending them back empty, do we? What does the poet say? He will not send them empty back, nor fright them from the door. He saith unto them, come and see. Come and see. Come and see that he will have mercy upon you. Come and see that he is able to blot out all those sins that trouble you, all the distress that weighs you down. Come and see. We find in the closing chapter of this sacred book, there's a very precious word. Well, of course, it's full of precious words, but in the context of our text, what do we read? Jesus said this, I am Jesus, He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And then we read this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now, you look at that precious word, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, whispers to the poor sinner, come. Do you know what it is for the Holy Spirit to whisper that to you? Come. You see, when the Lord speaks, come and see, the Holy Spirit will sweetly apply that word, and he will reveal to you the need of that precious word, the necessity of it. Oh, how vital it is to have a Holy Spirit religion. You see, the Holy Spirit takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto poor sinners. The Holy Spirit applies the word with power. Oh, he does. And the Spirit, the blessed Holy Spirit, whispers this. And the bride. Who is the bride? It is none other than the Church of God. Those that truly fear and know the Lord's precious name and know him as their Saviour, they see a poor, dejected sinner, sunk in sin, what will they do? They bid them come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You know, the bride of Christ is so beautifully set forth in the Song of Solomon, isn't it? Look at that wonderful union there is between Christ and his bride. What did she say? My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Oh, the bride. Well, there's a beautiful illustration of this in the case of Abraham's servant when he went to seek a wife for Isaac. You know, Laban and Bethuel were a type and a beautiful illustration of the bride of Christ in this sense. You know, Abraham's servant was so concerned as the Lord had answered his prayer and Rebekah had come forth. What would be the response when he desired she should go back to Isaac to be his bride? What would be the response of Rebekah's house? And what concern there was in his heart, and there may be those of you that are exercised about following the Lord, and you may say, oh, but what were the bride of Christ, the Church of God, say? Well, I often say, and I will say it today, you know, when a poor sinner ventures to follow the Lord in the ordinance of the Lord's house, I always say this, you're not here before judges. We're all poor sinners. But what were the brides say? Come, you see. There may be one tempted, well, you know, the Church of God will never receive me. I've got so little, I feel so poor, so helpless. And yet I need the dear Redeemer, and I want to obey his sweet commands and walk in his ways. The Spirit and the Bride. Now the Spirit will whisper, come, to the poor coming sinner. And so will the Bride. You may say, oh, but if only I knew that. Well, may the Holy Spirit convey it. This is what God has said in his word. The Saviour said it himself. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Well, go back to Abraham's servant. What did Laban and Bethuel say when he went to the house? They didn't say to him, depart and go on your journey without her, did they? No, no. They said, and may the Holy Spirit whisper it in our poor hearts today, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? Now that's what they said. And that'll be the echo and desire of the Bride of Christ. Oh, it will. It reminds me of a dear man many years ago now, in my early days in the ministry, was so exercised up in Bedfordshire concerning following his dear Redeemer in the sacred ordinances of God's house. And that dear man, you know, the Lord has so blessed him. And he prayed that when he went to see the dear deacon and he got to the house, the dear deacon would open the door and he would say, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? Now that's what he prayed. And the dear man ventured up to that dear old deacon's house, you know, and the deacon opened the door and he just looked at him and he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? You see how the Lord was in the whole matter. And you look at Abraham's servant, how the Lord was in it. And there may be one poor soul today who say, Lord, is this so with me? Well, may the Spirit whisper it. What did Jesus say? He saith unto them. It may be there's them this morning. He saith unto them. It wasn't just one of them. He said it to both of them. Come and see. It's a sweet invitation, isn't it? We think back to another precious soul, a dear man and his wife, when they were exercise concerning taking the sweet step of following the Lord in baptism and sitting at the Lord's table. You know, they felt when they went up to the house of God on that Lord's day, the Lord would, and they prayed so earnestly, the Lord would send his dear servant with a clear word they should go. They should venture. And dear Mr. Barker from Bexley and then at Uffington was the minister. And he went with these words, come and dine. You know, they never forgot it. Come and dine. He not only preached to them, they should come, but they should dine. Come sit at table with your Lord and eat celestial food. What a sweet seal it was to them, you say. The Lord's work. but just briefly, I'll just be done. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. You know, the real hearers of the truth. Those that hear for eternity. Those that hear to profit and love the dear Saviour's name. What will they say? They will say, come. This is what the Lord has said. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will. Well, who is this whosoever? You know, many professors of religion, they use this as a handle, this word. And they say, well, it means everybody. It never does, poor soul. It means all the election of grace, whosoever will. And that's a wonderful word, you know, whosoever will. What did Jesus say? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and none others will, poor soul. Whosoever will. There's a willingness, you see. Let him take of the water of life freely. Jesus saith unto them, come and see. Well, I must leave it because of the time, but may the Holy Spirit whisper that to your poor soul and mine today. Jesus saith unto them, come. And see. And they were to come and see not only where he dwelt, but the beauty there was in him. Amen.